Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
Well, I'm sure my next guest would have approved of our previous interview and the message of embracing yourself just as you are. Because while Thando Hopper spends her time in front of the camera, Abigail Klopper is the person often behind the lens trying to capture the beauty of her subjects inside and out. Abigail is a specialist women's portrait photographer who works from a studio in Observatory. And she's joining me today to talk about confidence and why so many women struggle to be confident in themselves. It's something that's become a real passion of hers, something of a personal crusade after years of watching women worry about what they look like and how they appear in front of the camera. Abigail, welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you, Pippa. Thank you for having me here.
It's a great pleasure. Now, obviously, in the many years you've worked as a professional photographer, you must have seen it all. You must have been on professional shoots with models who are completely at home in front of the camera and completely owning their look and their styling, from that to the other extreme, which is someone like me who hates being photographed. I'm a nightmare client for any photographer. I always feel uncomfortable. I'm guessing, though, that from one end of the spectrum to the other, you will have seen moments of self-doubt. You will have seen women disliking the way they look, disliking a particular feature that they would want played down or hidden. This issue fascinates me, and it obviously fascinates you, why we doubt ourselves so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what started me out on this crusade, was because, you know, I've been photographing real women, like everyday real women, whether it's a mom or it's a young woman or it's a woman in her 50s or 60s, you know. And what I started to notice, that whenever they would come into my studio, before the camera has even come out, they're already apologizing to me about their lack of being photogenic, or that they're already pointing out that I dislike this about myself, and I'm not good on, you know, I don't look good at this angle. And it fascinated me, why do they do that? Why do we as women, straight out the bat, just hone in on that which we don't like about ourselves, you know? Whereas if they hadn't brought it up, I certainly wouldn't have noticed. You know,
fascinating. Yeah. And that's really led you into exploring your own role as a photographer in this, because there are some who would say, who point to the media, the ad campaigns, and say, well, it's this continual bombardment with images of a certain perfection that makes us feel that way, that we hold ourselves up to that example and can never match up. Did you have to do a bit of soul searching around that?
Oh, well, that's a big part of this journey, is that I could totally relate. I realized when these women were saying these self-deprecating things to me, that I was on the same page, and I could speak from experience of what that felt like, because of my own journey as a very insecure teenager, you know, being force-fed all of these images from the media of beautiful women, you know, being told what beauty is, what shape and form, and that we all should conform and we all should try and manipulate ourselves into that mold. And that destructiveness, what that did for my own self-esteem. So, yeah, it became, like you say, a crusade, not only for the women that I knew that I could help with my approach to portrait photography, but also for me, because, you know, we teach what we need to learn. And so this whole crusade has opened up my eyes to how confidence is one of those things that you're not born with. You can learn and you can change. And it's an awareness of what confidence does mean to you and what you can do for yourself to change how you feel about yourself.
I love that comment that you can learn confidence, because it's something we learn here every day. I mean, we come on air days where we might sound like we know completely what we're doing and we're totally in control of every interview. There are days when I'm terrified switching on the microphone and I don't feel, I have that imposter syndrome of they're going to find out. This is the day they're going to realize I actually really shouldn't be doing this. It's something that you can talk your way out of it, fake it till you make it, as it were. But often it takes someone else helping you fake it to pull that off. So in essence, that's what you're doing, both from your work as a photographer and then in the work with confidence that you're doing, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But photography obviously is very much about the external, the external beauty. And as a result, it does expose all those underlying insecurities. Do you feel that part of your job on this journey is to try and make it about more than that?
Oh, absolutely. And I actually see my portrait photography as a catalyst. It is that catalyst that creates the awareness, first of all, for the women that, you know, they perhaps feel a certain way about themselves, you know, part of their body, part of their appearance. And the photo shoot, the experience of the photo shoot then highlights to themselves, how are they talking to themselves about that area of concern? And my intention always with these portrait sessions is for them to walk away with more than just a pretty picture. I want them to walk away seeing themselves differently, seeing themselves in a new light, and giving themselves permission to celebrate themselves as a whole. And that what they perceive as flaws, that's just what makes them unique, and that uniqueness needs to be celebrated. And I want every single woman that walks into my studio to walk away feeling unique, feeling beautiful, but not just from the outside, from the inside too.
Now, you've been experimenting with different ways of highlighting this way of thinking about what you do for a couple of years now, with some pretty interesting results. And I'm going to start, if I can go back to 2015, you invited a bunch of beauty bloggers into your studio and basically turned the tables on them and reversed the process. So we talk about a before and after photo shoot, which is normally what you looked like before you had the hair and makeup done versus the end result, all polished and glamorous. You did the opposite. Tell us what you did.
Yes. So I laid out a challenge to 10 of Cape Town's local beauty bloggers to come into my studio as they are, how they show up in the world as in their role as a beauty blogger, with their makeup done, their hair done, you know, wearing all the glad rags and looking the part. And I challenged them to peel away those layers, to on camera, once we've done a before shoot where I'm guiding them and posing them and, you know, creating some gorgeous portraits, I challenged them then to on camera take off the makeup and take down the hair and then change into the clothes that they wear on a Sunday when they are not on, you know, out and about being seen by other people. They're not on Instagram. They're just being comfy, being themselves. And then to go through that portrait session, you know, in this, as this version of themselves. And I wanted to explore what were the differences. How did they feel differently about themselves from the before session versus the second session? And I wanted to find out there if they then attached their confidence to how they looked externally versus how they felt internally.
And what did you find?
It was interesting because there was some resistance. I will be honest. There was some when I approached a few, you know, I had to gather the girls and get 10 of them to say yes. So in my initial call out, there was some resistance that some girls couldn't do it. And that for me was already interesting. That in itself was an exercise and an experiment. And then I found that they had to dig deep, and they had to then question their own definition of confidence. And I found that when they were then put on the spot to relate in a very authentic and a very raw kind of way what confidence means to them, it kind of redefined it. And that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, deepening this whole idea of confidence, that it's not just skin deep. It is something far, far deeper. And I commended each one of them because they took up the challenge and they were willing to be vulnerable. And in that is how you grow your confidence. Because if you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and if you're willing to face your vulnerabilities in a very public way, it feels counterintuitive when you say it that way, but ultimately that's how you develop your strength and your confidence.
Now, you carried on the project, if I can call it that, into 2016.
Yes.
With another series of videos, and I'm going to ask my producer to please tweet the link so that our listeners can watch those at their leisure, because I found them fascinating viewing. Short videos of 10 women that you invited again into your studio, and while photographing them, spoke to them about confidence and asked them the question, what is your number one confidence challenge? And the answers were some predictable, some unpredictable, some of what you would expect. Some of them saying, I'm unhappy with my weight. I don't like this particular feature. I've always been self-conscious about whether it's my nose, my ears, my freckles, my dimple, whatever it may be. But a lot of it got quite deeper than that. There were women speaking about not feeling validated unless they looked a certain way. There were women speaking about feeling like an outsider because they work in a profession which is very male dominated, for example. And most tellingly for me, they spoke about the little voices in their head. Why don't you explain to our listeners what those voices were saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as women, we can all relate. We all get it. And that's what I wanted to bring about with these videos. Mm. And I called it hashtag Cape Town Confidence, CT Confidence. And it's about that Me Too-ness. Like, if we voice our vulnerabilities, those negative voices that we carry around in our heads, because they're very much a part of being human. It's very much a part of the natural state of the ego. And the problem I find with social media in this day and age is that everybody's life looks so glam and everybody looks so well put together and everybody looks as if they've got, you know, things organized and they're on top of everything. When in reality, behind the scenes, the story might be completely different. And what these videos revealed is that, you know, these women were sharing those very real and authentic and painful things that they were thinking about themselves and meanings that they had given to events that had happened in their lives and how that then went on to impact their level of self-confidence. And I wanted to kind of lift the lid on that to show other women that you're not alone. Mm. You are not alone. And everybody has something that is bringing them down. There is not a woman in this world who has it all together every single day. And you've even said now about, you know, coming on the radio that it is. You have your ups and downs and it becomes almost, it comes in waves. So there might be a period of time that everything's dandy and you're feeling good and confident, but that won't last. And that's just a fact of life. And everything is temporary. And then you might have a wave of where that negative voice gets louder and louder. And that too is temporary. So it's just about managing and also being aware of what that voice in your head is actually saying. Because if you let that voice run rampant, it can be a downward spiral. So it always starts with that awareness. You've got to be listening out. And so I wanted to highlight what some women who on the outside look as if they you know, life
got
is
it
easy.
All together.
Yeah, they've got it all together. So yeah, just that you're not alone and having that Me Too. I get you, I hear you, and I feel the same.
Mm. At what point did you realize that these interesting approaches, playing with this idea of what is confidence and where does it come from and how do we teach ourselves to learn it and grow it. At what point did you realize that actually this was something you could turn into a teaching?
I think it was when my clients started coming back to me, my portrait clients, they started feeding back to me what an impact their shoot had been, that it wasn't just a photo shoot for them, that it had been the ripple effect into their life after that photo shoot had been so substantial that they then suddenly saw themselves differently and they walked differently and they dressed differently and they presented themselves differently. And then other people started noticing something about them had changed. And so for me, that became, that was kind of the first clue that I am a catalyst. I'm already doing something to help women, but how can I take this to the next level? And how can I take it from the surface level confidence of giving you an image of yourself that you like to something where this is, becomes a state of being, that this is how you now see yourselves permanently. And so that's what got me into, you know, digging deeper into confidence and coming up with how can I help women tap into theirs.
I mean, there are psychologists who've spent a lifetime working with patients that have never got that internalizing of the positive messaging right. But you've certainly, you've done extensive research. You've collected together thinking and reading on mindfulness and on all of these self-doubt messages and how to turn them around. And the result is an actual online course in confidence. So without further ado, tell us what that course offers and who should think about subscribing to it.
So the course is called Conscious Confidence and it's at conscious-confidence.com. It's an online video-based course. And it's 4 weeks long in duration and completely self-paced. So once somebody signs up, they have lifetime access to it and they can do the course at whatever time it suits them. And that was really important for me, that you're not obligated to attend a class or a specific workshop on a day, and then, you know, it must work with you and your lifestyle. And it starts, the first module is all about understanding the change process. And I brought that in because I wanted to build on a foundation, a strong foundation, because we've all experienced that, you know, we've all set New Year's resolutions, and invariably a few weeks in, that New Year's resolution is out the window. And then we land up feeling like a failure because we didn't get past the end of January. So I wanted to start the course on understanding, if you want to change something about yourself, how are you going to make that happen? So I talk through what I've described as the change process, and there's six different steps that starts with awareness, about understanding who you are, where you are, and what it is that you want to change. Then it goes into decision making and actually making the decision to change and commit to doing the work that you need to do. And then it goes through the you know, various other steps until you get to the point of a new level of awareness. And so the cycle goes. Mm-hmm. And then we go into body confidence, mind confidence, and soul confidence. Because like I said, confidence is not surface level. It's not just physical, what you see in the mirror and what other people perceive of you. It's what you think. And it's also a deeper meaning trait.
Mm-hmm. So the online course is at www.conscious-confidence.com. Have you thought about taking all of this and putting it into book form?
I have indeed. I have indeed. That is in, I'm in the process of writing the book, very much around the content of the course. And also I'm continually adding to the course as well. And what I've discovered is the value of women's story. And like you were saying in the previous interview, just hearing somebody share their story so authentically, that in itself is a source of inspiration for so many women. So I'm continually now interviewing successful and inspiring women and getting their take on confidence. And I'm adding that to the course every month. So this course is continually growing as well. And all of those, interviews, you know, that's grabbing the nuggets. That's finding the secret to confidence across, you know, and getting it from a bunch of different sources. And that's going to eventually go into the book as well.
I just have to say thank you to Sharon, who's listening and tweeting while she's listening, saying, so good to hear that we are not alone in our feelings of insecurity and lack of self-confidence. I'm loving the interview, and I think everyone should think about doing this course. Well, I hope lots of people will go at least and take a look at the website, read up about the course, and see if it is something that they want to play with and explore. And I hope they'll also keep an eye out for your book as and when it comes out. Abigail, please let us know when it's ready for the follow-up interview.
Thank you.
I want to say a big thank you, firstly, for what you're doing. I think it's such an important message and such an important thing to be forcing women to confront and to try and fix for themselves. So thanks for being with us today. Good luck, and look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you, Pippa. Thanks for having me.
Abigail, besides the confidence website, if someone's interested in coming to you for one of these fabulous sounding photo shoots, how do they find you?
They can find me on my website at abigailk.co.za.
abigailk.co.za. Thanks for being with us today.